Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us sing together from Psalter 248, the first two verses. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide, and in his shadow safely hide. 1 and 2 of 248. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Gospel according to St. Mark, thereof the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 28 to the end. But first let us do confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention Mark 12, beginning with verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, "How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool.' David therefore himself called him Lord. And whence is he then his son?" And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, "Beware the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing upon his word tonight. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, triune Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art that merciful and gracious God, that long-suffering, faithful Jehovah in heaven, it is in thy goodness and mercy that on thy day today, that for the second time, we may freely gather in thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. Lord, it's thy long-suffering patience unto us, unworthy sinners, because if thou wilt deal with us according to what we deserve, according to our iniquities, transgressions, and sins, we would be cast away. Lord, thou hast created us. Thou hast created all things. And at the end of creation, thou could look upon creation and say, behold, it is very good. Man reflected the image of God in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Man had a perfect heart. There was pure love for thee and for each other. There was no sin. But Lord, we have rebelled against thee. We have given ear to Satan, believing his word instead of thy word. We have willfully offended thee. We have turned away from thee, never to return. And Lord, what a wonder then. And may it become a wonder to each one of us that thou art willing yet through thy word to seek to save sinners, to speak unto us, rebels, enemies by nature, of sinners who have no love for thee, no love for neighbors, and only are prone to sin and evil. Lord, what mercy, what wonders. But we beg thee then, Lord, tonight also, as we will consider man's misery, of what we have made ourselves. And Lord, as we listen to thy word tonight, wilt thou open spiritually deaf ears to hear, that we may hear who we are, what we have become, and what we remain to be. Open our eyes, Lord, hold the mirror of thy law before us and show us. Open our eyes, our spiritually blind eyes, to see in thy sight who we are. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would shoot out arrows and wound sinners. May they be conquered by thy grace, by thy spirit, and that they may cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, we all know in our minds, because we have been taught, we are sin. But we pray and beg thee that this truth may not only be in our minds, as the scribe understood it with his mind, but he didn't believe it, he didn't have it in his heart. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that that truth may truly be applied by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners may be born again, that sinners would repent, and that there may be that joy in heaven among the angels, that in tonight, here in this church building, or those who are listening along would truly come to repentance. Lord, we beg thee then, work mightily, irresistibly, with the power of thy Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh, hearts that confess sin, hearts that sorrow over sin, hearts that hate sin and flee far from sin and turn unto thee and seek forgiveness in thee through thy dear Son. And seek to be cleansed, washed, to be made pure, to be conformed to the image of thy Son. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, don't only show who we are, but may we ask thee in thy mercy and in thy grace to reveal unto us that precious Savior, he who came to fulfill the law for transgressors, he who came with a pure heart and with all his mind, with his whole being, loved God, his Father, and his neighbor. O wilt thou show us then of that righteousness that is in him? Because when we consider also as thy dear people, as we hear who we still remain to be, miserable wretches, and that we see all our righteousnesses are nothing but filthy rags, O teach us of that righteousness that is of thee, that righteousness that is outside of self, that robe of righteousness purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may we have that longing then to be clothed by him, to be washed by him, to be made pure, to serve thee again, already, to glorify thee, to have a heart that loves thee above all else, and that loves our neighbor as ourself. Lord, have mercy upon us. Remember us, the whole congregation. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, work mightily, irresistibly, by thy word and Holy Spirit. We pray and ask thee to remember us then in this week. We lay before thee also, as there will be a school meeting, Lord, and men will be voted to be on the board. We ask thee to guide and to lead, and that men may be chosen that is in thy favor, that would be a blessing for the school. Lord, we pray, remember us also as a consistory, as we hope to meet tomorrow night. Lord, we're sinful men. We need thy grace. We need thy guiding and leading of thy word and spirit in all that we are called to decide upon and how to lead the flock that thou hast entrusted to our care. Lord, help us, bind us together in love, in unity, upon that one foundation, Jesus Christ, and that we may have a longing bound together, that thy kingdom may come, that thy name may be glorified, that sinners would be born again, and that thy people may be edified. Help us, Lord. May we lay before thee the government of our nation. We pray that thou would give them all those whom thou hast called to rule over us locally, federally, but also provincially. Give them the fear of the Lord in their hearts. Lord, we beg thee, work mightily. Thou art the Almighty God. And may thy word be a light upon their pathway and all their decisions. Lord, we must confess as a nation. We cannot only look to our leaders and point to them. We must point within. Lord, we ask thee to forgive our many sins. Thy church is called to be a light upon this earth, and that light has become so dim. We speak so little. We speak so little against sin. We speak so little of the truth of thy commandments of righteousness. O, wilt thou then begin in the church of God, and that there may be a revival, that there may be love for thy name, zeal, and that we may speak with love for thy honor, for thy glory. And Lord, wilt thou then remember us in thy mercy? We pray and ask thee to remember also us as families, especially our children. Lord, may we lay them all before thee, the teenagers, but also the younger ones. They grow up in a world filled with temptations, with winds of doctrines. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, work mightily in their hearts and capture them by thy grace, that they may have the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts. Help us, Lord, as parents, to raise our children in the fear of the Lord to the utmost of our ability. Bless the means of grace that may be used in our families, that thy word may be opened, and that thou would bless it in our homes. We pray and beg thee and ask thee, Lord, to remember all those who are suffering with sicknesses, not only with the body, with the mind. Help them, Lord. Remember those with special needs and special cares. Parents who have children with special needs, help them, Lord. Give them strength, because this cross is daily. Help them, Lord, and give them especially wisdom, compassion, love, but also, Lord, that they may experience that thou art that faithful God, that thou art that precious Almighty One, that they can lay all their needs before thee, also their children, as that father who had that son who had such needs and the disciples couldn't help, but thou hast said, bring him unto me. Oh, may that give us courage and hope as parents, that we may bring all our children and lay them before thee and beg thee, Lord, work mightily, irresistibly in their hearts. We all need the same thing. We need thy grace. We need thy spirit. We need to be taught and led and guided by thee and brought to the feet of that only Savior. Lord, remember then also those who could not gather with us. Give them a blessing in their home. But may we ask thee also for those, maybe children or brothers or sisters of this congregation, maybe even parents who have left the truth, who do not come to church anymore, who do not read thy word. Lord, we beg thee, thou art the Almighty God. Bring them to themselves as thou hast brought that prodigal son, and who then arose and had to leave that place of sin and had to confess. Lord, we pray, have mercy before it is forever too late. And so, Lord, we ask thee especially, gather with us. Bless thy precious word mightily, irresistibly. May there be many Aarons and hers, those who are crying and sighing unto thee. Lord, open thy word. Open the mouth of thy servant, and that he may preach the full counsel of God, the truth, and that thou would bless it. Lord, give the unction of the Holy Spirit. Without thee, we can do nothing. Thy servants are sinners, sons of men. But may we look to thee, from whence cometh all our help. Thou art the faithful God. Look upon us in mercy then through thy Son, and give those blessings from above in the hearts of sinners. For Jesus' sake, amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 40, all stanzas. Psalter 40, all stanzas. The law that the Lord has ordained is perfect, the soul to restore. His truth makes the simple most wise, the truth that is sure evermore. Psalter 40, all stanzas, and the collections are the same of this morning. The first for the church, and the second for the NRC Disaster Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, what is the only comfort in life and in death? David expressed this very clearly in Psalm 23, verse 1. And children, you know that Psalter very well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The authors of the Heidelberg Catechism summarize what the Bible teaches of that only comfort in Lord's Day number 1. The only comfort is to belong to that faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. It's being kept by God the Father and to be sealed, to be assured by the Holy Spirit. This is the true and only comfort in life and in death. But what is the way to that comfort? What is the way to that true and only comfort? It's knowing three essential things. It's experiencing three essential things that Paul wrote about in Romans. What are those three things, young people? I think you know: misery, deliverance, and gratitude. And one of these essential aspects of knowing, of the way to know that only true comfort, is to know how great my sins and miseries are. And maybe you ask, the way to comfort is to know how miserable I am? That way to comfort is to know how sinful I am? Yes. Why? Because until you truly understand, until you truly know and truly believe your miserable, desperate situation, you will not truly seek deliverance. God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, teaches sinners of their miseries to lead them to that only Savior, Jesus Christ. He teaches them their misery so that they will seek, cut off of self, to find life in another. God knows that you and me by nature will never ever seek deliverance, never seek reconciliation with the Holy God until we learn something of our misery, of our sin. The law is a schoolmaster to bring to Christ, to be justified by faith. And now we come to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 2, 3, and 4. It speaks about the misery of man, your misery, my misery. And remember, the purpose is to find true comfort. And God gives an accurate analysis of your and my spiritual condition. Tonight, I would like to begin with the true story. Please listen. There was a man in Chilliwack whose name was John. John was a dear father, a husband, and a grandfather. And he had applied for a new job. But one of the requirements of that new job is that he had to fill out a medical report. He had to go to a doctor. And they had to take blood tests. And they had to do some other tests. It was one of the requirements for his job. John had no problem. He's healthy. He'll go do this. And so he made an appointment. He went to the doctor willingly to take this test, to have these tests, to have an analysis of his physical health. And when he was done, he went home, happy, thinking of the blessings that he would receive in his new job. But 3 days later, the phone rang. It was his doctor. John, you need to come to my office now. I need to speak to you. I need to speak to you about the medical report. I need to show you the analysis of your medical situation. I need to show it to you. And John said, why? I don't have time for this. Why don't you just mail it to me? Why don't you just email the results to me? What's the purpose? And the doctor said, John, I need to tell you, you're a very sick man. You have stage 4 cancer. John was stunned. What? I have cancer? I feel healthy. Doctor, there must be another John. That's not me. That can't be me. I feel healthy. I don't need cancer treatments. I don't need medicine. I feel completely healthy. And the doctor, with compassion, John, you need to come. You need to come. You need to begin cancer treatments. You need medicine. John, you're a sick man. Come to my office. I want to show you. I want to show you the proof. And John went. And he came. He came to the doctor's office. And the doctor showed him the reports. He showed him the analysis of those exams. And he could show him, John, look, you feel healthy, but reality, you're sick. You're dying. You got stage 4 cancer. And the doctor compassionately, kindly told him, John, you need help. You need medicine. You need cancer treatment. And the doctor, by showing John, who thought he was so healthy, by this analysis, could show him. And John believed it. He saw it. He read it. He saw it with own eyes. It became a reality. He couldn't deny it. He felt healthy. But now, by the analysis, he saw that he was dying. He had cancer. He was a very sick man. He believed it. And he began to search for a doctor for his specific cancer. My friend, tonight, I must begin by showing you the analysis of your spiritual condition from the Word of God. You and I have a much worse disease than cancer. What is it, children, young people? What's the disease that every single one of us in this building has? It's not cancer, it's sin. Sin. No, we're not going to ask a doctor to give a report of our spiritual condition. No, we are going to listen to the Word of God. God knows your and my heart perfectly. My friends, tonight, we need to listen. We need to hear. We need to see. But I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't only hear it, don't only see it, but you really believe it. That you believe the analysis of your own spiritual condition from the great physician, the great prophet, Jesus Christ. The way to true comfort is knowing the truth of who you and I are. We need to hear who we are. We need to know our hearts, our sinful desperate needs. May I ask you a question? Would this doctor be loving to John if he just covered it? I don't want to disturb John. I don't want to tell him such bad news. Would that be love? He doesn't want to disturb his life. That's not love. It was love for the doctor to tell John the truth so that John would seek treatment. Isn't love for a pastor just to tell you half the truth? No. A pastor, a minister, an ambassador must tell you the whole truth. He must tell you also your condition of your misery. Why? So that you would seek the great physician, Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. My friends, the first step to a cure is to know you're sick. We need to know our misery to seek deliverance only in that great physician. The doctor didn't ask, John, do you feel sick? No, he told them by the analysis, John, you are sick. The Lord tells us the fact of our misery so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, this fact comes home in our hearts, that it becomes real, that we become lost, that we become guilty, that we become just completely in self miserable. It's good, painful for the flesh, but it's good for the soul, that we would truly confess it, that we would truly repent and seek deliverance. What is misery? Remember what we said last week? What is misery? It's being separated from a good doing God. It's that his sword of justice is over our heads, and that we're worthy of eternal punishment. Misery is not that you were poor, sick, hungry, we have problems. Those are all the consequences of sin. But misery really is being without God, being sinful, wretches, separated from God. The doctor, to prove to John that he had cancer, showed him the results of the tests. How did the doctor know that John had cancer? Well, he compared the analysis of John to someone who was healthy. And he saw by comparing those two that John was sick. John had cancer. He had a standard, that doctor, of what is a healthy person. So he could see, compare it with what the analysis of John was to show him he was sick. What is the standard that we must use, congregation, to know our misery, to know our great disease of sin? Is it man's standard? No. Was it whether man feels miserable or not? No. John did not feel sick, but he was sick. How are we to know our misery? By God's standard, by God's law. Everyone here by nature is sinful, is in misery without God. Everyone by nature. Listen to a few texts. Romans 3 verse 20. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 3 verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Need another verse? Romans 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. One more. 1 John 1 verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Tonight, with God's help, we are going to use God's standard to show who we are, to show, and may the Lord reveal it for the first time or again, our mystery. Tonight, we will consider by God's law, not man's, God's law, to know our misery, to know who we truly are in the depth, because that is the way that Jesus Christ becomes necessary. To ignore, one more point before we come to the Heidelberg Catechism and our theme, one more point, for that doctor and for John to ignore the analysis would be fatal. A congregation, to ignore what God says about you and me is fatal. It's to our eternal destruction. John was wise. He went. He saw. He read. He believed. And he sought help. And that's my prayer for you, for the first time or by renewal, that you would seek deliverance from your miserable state, that you would believe it. And so let us now read Lord's Day number 2, question and answers 3, 4, and 5. You can find it in your Psalter on page 28 and 29. Lord's Day 2, question and answer 3, 4, and 5. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Out of the law of God. Question 4, what doth the law of God require of us? Christ teaches us that briefly in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Question and answer number 5. Canst thou keep all these things perfectly? In no wise, for I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. The theme this evening is the misery of man. How can you and I know our misery? What is the standard to show you and me our misery? God's law. By God's law, tonight we will consider two things. Two things that the law teaches us of our misery. First is the absence of true love to God and to our neighbor. Absence of true love. The second is prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. So the misery of man, the absence of love, and the presence of sin, hatred, or evil. So the absence of love to God and to our neighbor. My friends, the law of God is the standard to know our misery. The word of God, but especially the law of God. What is the summary of the law? What is the summary? There's one word that you can summarize the whole law of God, of those two tables. Love. Love to God and love to our neighbor. Jesus Christ tells us in the Sermon on the Mount of what is true love. Jesus Christ, as that great prophet, teaches sinners the truth of God's law to show them their misery. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ doesn't teach anything new. No, nothing new, but he explains the depth, the spirituality of the law. He explains the law of God. He taught the law of God needed to be obeyed with the heart, not just outwardly, but with the whole heart, with love, with the whole being. The people in this time, especially in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also especially the Pharisees, they expected to enter the kingdom of God by their righteousness, by keeping the law. In this way, they thought to enter heaven to earn salvation. They were expecting salvation by the standard of man, by their understanding of the law. And Jesus Christ said, in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 20, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousnesses of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." The Pharisees were very religious. Very religious. And in their opinion, they were righteous in the sight of God. But Jesus Christ knows the heart of man. He knows what was missing in their hearts, and he knows your heart and my heart. And by nature, our hearts are also like Pharisees. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ is teaching and saying that you can be a very religious person or a very worldly person, but without true love for God and your neighbor, you are lost. You are a miserable wretch. He is saying, you and I were created with a perfect heart, with a heart to love God above all else and our neighbor as ourself. And he's looking in your heart. He's looking in my heart. He's looking for his image back. He's looking for love, to see that pure love for God and for your neighbor. And God sees in your heart, in my heart, by nature, he doesn't see love. He doesn't see that pure love. God is saying to us tonight through the law, I miss love. I created you to love me with your whole being. Where's that love? I created you to love your neighbor as yourself. Where's that love? Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount explained the character of love. For example, what we read in Matthew 5, verse 43 and 44. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And so when we compare our hearts to the standard of God to love as the Lord Jesus Christ teaches about love, did we see what's missing? Have you seen what's missing in your heart? No love for God, pure love. Love for God. The Lord Jesus Christ redefines what love is. And he redefines what it is to be lost. Is to be lost is to be without love for God and for your neighbor. And by nature, it's not there. We're born totally depraved. There is no love for God and no love for our neighbor. Remember John? He thought he was fine. Do you think tonight you think you're fine spiritually? Be honest. Be honest. But John saw the analysis that he was a sick man, I hope and pray, through the law of God, seeing that it comes home, that you're without love for God and for your neighbor, that you see it for the first time or by renewal. The Lord looks into our hearts. People can look on the outside and say, that's a nice boy, that's a nice girl, that's a nice adult, that's a nice teenager. But God looks into the very depth of our hearts. By nature, we are without true love for God and for our neighbor. And this is proof of our misery. We are lost, congregation. We are sinful. Open your Bible to the chapter that we read, to Mark chapter 12. Let us consider the scribe that speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read, he had a question for the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 28. What is the first commandment of all? And then the Lord Jesus answered him, as we read in Mark 12, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And then the scribe responds to the Lord Jesus. Let's read those verses also, verse 32 and 33. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And then the Lord Jesus Christ responds to him. How does he respond to him? Well, we read that in the following verse, in verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. So this man was close to the kingdom of God. He wasn't in the kingdom of God. He was close. It's not sufficient to be close to the kingdom of God. Lord, congregation, we need to be in the kingdom of God. Why was this man not in the kingdom of God? What was he missing? What was he missing in his heart? What's the answer? The answer is in the first part of how the Lord Jesus answered him. In verse 34, and when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly. What does that word mean? It means that this man answered with his understanding.
He was a scribe. He knew the law. He could probably recite the whole Ten Commandments. He knew it all in his mind. His understanding. But it wasn't in his heart. He was missing what the law was in its core. He was missing love. He was without love. He had understanding. But let's not just consider the scribe. Let's consider you and me tonight. We hear the law of God every Sunday morning. It's read. And maybe children, maybe you even had to memorize it. Maybe you can answer it, older ones. Maybe you can say all 10 commandments just by memory. Good. But it's not sufficient. Are you missing what the law is? Love to God, love to your neighbor. It's not sufficient. This man was close to the kingdom of God, but he was missing the essential of the law, of love. He was without love. That's you and me by nature. Knowing the law, understanding the law with our mind, but the heart not having the law, not having love. And God is looking into our hearts. He made you and me perfect to love him with our whole being. But what does he see? He sees no love. That must pain him. No? That must pain the Lord. That he sees all these people that he has created in his image, but he doesn't see any love. They don't meet that purpose. They miss the goal. No love. My friends, is there love? Is there love in your heart? By God's grace, is there again love? God pours love in the heart in regeneration, but by nature, there's no love at all. We can do many things, and it's good. We are commanded, but is there love in what we do? Faith worketh by love. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. By nature, we can do much. We can do much, but is there love? If it's without love, and by nature, there is no love. Congregation, we need to examine our own hearts tonight. We need to hold our life before the standard of God. And his analysis, if I may say it that way, is he's telling you and me by nature, there is no love. There's no love. Do you, again, by God's grace, is there a beginning of love? Love to God. And love to man, to your fellow traveler, to eternity. Let us pray that the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see by that analysis who we are, that we're absent of love. Remember, John didn't believe it. The doctor saw it. He said, John, you have cancer. But John didn't believe it. And we hear it. You've all heard it many times. We're sinful. We're miserable. We're guilty. We're lost. Again, tonight, I'm called to hold the law of God, and the summary is love. And God is saying, congregation, you, me by nature, there's no love. But we need the application of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because many hear that they're sinners. Many hear the law. They read the law, but they don't see it. They don't see that they're miserable, lost. Yes, they say yes with their mind, but it doesn't become a reality. It has never become a true experience. Lost. Let me give you an illustration. Children, teenagers, if you're in a room, and there's no light, and there's a mirror. You can stand in front of the mirror, but you can't see anything, right? You can't see anything in that mirror. You have no reflection, but you turn the light on, then you can see yourself in the mirror. The law of God is a mirror to teach us our misery. God shows by his law that he's holy, just, and that we are sinners. Romans 3, verse 20, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Many hear the law. Many maybe have a certain understanding of the law, maybe can recite the law with the scribe, but by nature they don't see it, that they're missing love for God. They don't see themselves. They need the light of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, congregation. We need the Spirit to apply. A spiritually blind man doesn't see it, and by nature we're all spiritually blind. You can take a blind man and you can take him outside and say, look at the sunrise. You can take him before a mirror, but he doesn't see it. We need our spiritual eyes opened. And then we begin to see. We begin to see who we are in the sight of God. What are we? Without love. No love for God. Think about that. We can say that so easily, but no love for God. And God made you and me to love him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, with our whole being. That was to be our joy. But now we don't even look at the Lord. We ignore him completely. There's no love. Has that message come home? Has it become a reality? Have you become lost? Have you become miserable, a wretch, missing love? Let's sing now. Psalter 102. Psalter 102, the first four stanzas standing. 102, stanzas 1 through 4. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. Psalter 102, the first four stanzas.
the misery of man. We've heard a few words of the absence of love. But it's worse, congregation. It's much worse. It's not only that there's the absence of love and that God created you and me to love Him and our neighbor as ourself, and that we have no true love. It's worse. Our second thought, prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. The absence of love, and in that absence there is sin. The presence of sin, the presence of hatred, the very exact opposite. Let's read the last question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 5. Canst thou keep all these things perfectly? In no wise. For I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. What an answer. No love, but even worse, hating God, hating my neighbor. Jesus Christ says we are to love God and to love our neighbor. That's the summary of the law. That was his answer, to love God. But the absence of love is one thing. It's horrible. It's wicked. It's sinful. But now, to truly know that it's not only absence of love, but I'm prone to hate God, hate my neighbor. No, that's not me. Yes, it is. It's God's word. Prone to hate God. Prone to hate your neighbor. Loving self and everyone else is not important, and ignoring God. What is love? To consider what is hate, what is love. Love is not just a feeling. Love is a principle in the heart. It's action. It's a fruit. Love. God is looking upon our trees of our life, and he looks to see that tree. He's looking for love, fruits of love. But what does he find in place of love? He doesn't find any love, but he finds all stinking fruits. That's you and me by nature. It's all hatred, hatred, hatred. You can take every commandment, and that we break the commandment shows we don't love God, we don't love neighbor. But it shows that instead of that, we hate God and we hate our neighbor. What wretches, what sinful people that you and I are. And yet God still, he wants to show, he wants to proclaim this truth. Why? So that it comes home, that we become lost, and that we seek salvation only in another. What is love? God is love. Love is shown by actions. God is pure love in his whole being. He showed it by an action of love. John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, pure love. And what about Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, he willingly gave his life, an action of love. John 10, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Love is shown by actions. Love is seen by actions. What we're thinking, what our desires, our affections, what our heart is, it comes out in our actions. And by nature, there is no love. But those other actions come out of us of hatred, evil, prone to hate God and my neighbor. Instead of respecting each other, we disrespect each other. Instead of loving and serving one another, we only love self and we don't want to serve anyone. Instead of worshiping God, we worship self. Instead of bowing before the only true God, we bow to idols, and we all have them, many of them, by nature.
Love is preferring another above self, but we prefer ourself besides another. Love is preferring God above everything else, but we don't. We love self, the world, sin, prone to all evil. Did you hear it? Do you see it? Do you know it? Has it become a pain in your heart? That's me. That's me. There's no love. No love by nature. And even after grace, such little love, and still so prone to sin and evil. The Lord Jesus Christ commands to bless our enemies, but by nature we want to kill them, we want to retaliate. Someone does something wrong to us, and we want to retaliate. That's our heart. Instead of loving them, we want to retaliate. Right, children? Someone does something wrong at school to you. What do you want to do? Be honest. You want to get that person. Right, boys? You want to hit him. Girls? You want to say nasty things about them. And what about us? In our families? As parents, husband and wife? We are to show love by our actions. God is looking for the fruit of love. But by nature, there's only hatred. We're called to love our wives. Well, that sounds easy. But we are to love our wives as Christ loves his church. But by nature, we love self. It shows the absence of true love. And it shows what we're prone only for hatred. The Lord is commanding. He commands by his law to love him above all else. But we're only prone to the very opposite. God is looking on the tree of our life for love, but he only finds stinking fruits. No love, but all fruits of hatred, envy, wickedness, sin. Or has it changed? Is there a beginning by God's grace that there is some fruit by God's grace of love? A beginning, a little beginning of love for the Lord. A little beginning of love for the Lord Jesus. A beginning of love for your neighbor, that you care for him. Remember, the Lord Jesus saw the very heart of the scribe. He sees your heart. He sees my heart. And he longs for our heart. We are to love it with all our strength, with all our might, with our whole being, with our soul, our mind, with everything. But by nature, no love, but worse, hatred. Hatred. We can be very religious. We can be very pious. We can dress a certain way, and other people may think we're fine, but God sees your and my hearts. He sees the absence of love, and he sees that we are only prone by nature to hate God and our neighbor. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, that's quite something. And now listen. And have not charity, have not love, it profit me nothing. God is looking for love, and he only by nature sees hatred. You say, no, no, no. God loves honesty. Do you lie? Absence of love and proof of hatred. God loves purity. Purity, young people, older ones. God loves purity. And are you an adulterous person? You say, no, no. I've never fallen in the act. Thank the Lord for his common grace. But listen. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. He goes to the very depth. He shows what true love is, to really love the law of God. Also, this commandment. And I could go through all 10 commandments. But he says in Matthew 5, verse 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Instead of loving God and loving your neighbor, there is sin. The law shows us, you and me, my misery. And our misery is that we fall short, completely short of the purpose that God made you and me. He made you and me to glorify Him with our whole being, with everything. And by nature, there's no love. And worse, there's only hatred. Sin. Sin. May I ask you, listen to Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Who can raise their hand and say, that's me? None. None. By nature, we are prone to the opposite, prone to hatred. To hatred. But you say, but I do good things. I help those in other countries, poor people. May I ask you, why? Why do you do it? Do you do it out of true faith for the glory of God and love for God and for your... What's your motive? God sees your and my heart. Is it done for our own honor? Is it done for our own glory? Do we do it so that others would see us and say, wow, what a nice man, what a nice moment? Or is there love? Is there love? Is there faith? Do we do it out of faith for the glory of God? My friends, our misery is the absence of love and prone by nature to hate God and our neighbor. God is looking in our hearts. He's looking in your heart, my heart, for love, for love. But by nature, there's only enmity. Enmity? Is that really true? Listen to God's word, Romans 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And by nature, we are born in the flesh. And without regeneration, we remain in the flesh. We can be very religious, very pious. But without God's grace, there is no love and there's only hatred. My friend, have you heard it? Do you believe it? Do you confess it? John didn't believe he had cancer. But when he saw it, when he read it, he believed it. But what about God's children? What about them? What about the lambs and the sheep of the good shepherd? What about those who are born again? Do they love God and their neighbor with true love, with perfect love? No. They only have a small beginning. Their love is polluted. It's all polluted, and they're prone also to sin and evil. All the seeds of sin is in their heart. They have their flesh. How does God require us to love Him and our neighbor? What's the answer? What's the greatest example in the Bible of how you and I are to love God and our neighbor? The greatest example is Jesus Christ. And so for the last few moments, let's consider Him, congregation, to compare your life and your heart to Him. God could look upon His Son and He saw a pure heart. No absence of love. A heart that radiated with pure love for God. A heart that had absolutely no sin. But what a difference. You and I, the absence of love and prone to all sin. Sheep of the Good Shepherd. Lambs. Compare your life to the life of Jesus Christ. You will see who you yet remain to be. It's good to see again and again our misery, our sinfulness. Why? That we would seek to know more, that we would decrease in the dust as a poor wretch at the feet of Him, and that we would seek more in Him, that He would increase. How did Jesus Christ love God perfectly his whole life? That was his will. That was his meat, to obey God. He longed to glorify his Father and even went to the cross for the glory of his Father. He gave everything. Every day, with all his strength, with all his mind, with his soul, his being, he loved his Father purely. Oh, how sinful we are when we hold our heart next to the pure heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I ask you, sheep, lambs, how do you live? The Lord Jesus lived using all his strength to serve God. Must we not confess, Church of God, how often we use our strength not for serving God, not for serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Sinful. The Lord Jesus Christ used his mind every day. It was his delight with his mind to love God. How do you use your mind so often, Church of God? Do not think of worldly things, sinful things, how things enter our mind we would never want to tell anyone else. It shows yet who we are by nature. We remain to be sinful even after grace. We give ourselves for purposes, do we not? But do we give ourselves as the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself to serve God? Examine your own hearts. But how did Jesus Christ love his neighbors? Oh, he had a heart of compassion. He was moved with compassion when he saw poor, needy sinners. He saw hungry people and he fed them. He saw sick and he healed them. But he also saw the poor spiritual poor, those brokenhearted, and he proclaimed the gospel to them. Jesus Christ loved his enemies. He didn't only preach it, but he practiced it. There was actions of pure love. I think of him when he was on the cross. Luke 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My friends, is there love? Do you see it? John saw it. He believed it, and he sought treatment. I pray you see it, you hear it. And Church of God, we're guilty, polluted, and we must all confess in many things we offend all. Our misery is shown by the law of God, the absence of love, and even worse, if I may say it that way, prone to hate God and our neighbor. You've heard it. What's your response? John's response at first, it can't be true. Is that your response? Are you going to reject the truth, the standard of God? Did he say you are prone to all sin and evil and there is no love? 1 John 1 verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Or have you, by God's grace, come to know a little something of your misery? Do you, by God's grace, know that you're a miserable wretch, missing love for God and your neighbor? That's my heart, and it's prone to all sin. Or is there a beginning? Also, in that life of grace, there will be a beginning, a love for God and for your neighbor. But if you truly know it, then you will also confess it. It will be pain in your heart, and you will confess, Lord, I'm a sinner. I thought I was good, but I'm a wretch. Lord, cleanse my heart. Lord, renew me. Lord, make me pure within. Why? Because there's love for him again. Love flows out to him, and they want to serve him. Is that you? Is that you? God's blessed people, chosen in eternity, beloved, sought, saved, renewed, and they will be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Church of God, there's hope. There's a blessed future coming. Now you still have to struggle with your wretched flesh that's prone to all sin and evil, and that lack of that pure love for God. But he's going to come. He's going to take you home, and he's going to conform you to the image of his Son. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ has that pure heart, and all his sheep are going to be made like his Son, with a pure heart, pure love. No more sin. No more sin, but all love. Blessed future, blessed people, by the blessed grace of God. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, Lord, we have tried to say a few words from thy precious word of our misery, and we beg thee that thou would apply thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners may become sinners, that sinners may become lost sinners, guilty sinners, corrupt sinners, polluted sinners. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, open our blind eyes to truly see who we are. Open our hearts to truly believe it, that we may become truly wretched in self, to seek that only way of salvation through thy Son that thou hast given into this world, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, remember us in this week. May we meditate upon thy word and bless it. May we not let the birds pluck it away. May we not let the cares of this world choke it out. But we beg thee that the seed of thy word that was sown may bring forth fruits of true repentance and true faith. Lord, keep us in this week. Keep us from an unprepared death, and prepare us all to meet thee. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let us close now with singing from Psalter 143, the first three stanzas. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me, and thy abounding love blot out all my iniquity. 143, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.